Welcome. This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade and am the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 8 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. In fact, this weekend we're adding Renton and Bellevue. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We really love to hear from you, and we welcome all questions and stories, anything you'd like to share. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW, that's 5569. Thank you so much for joining me today. On today's show, we're discussing a topic that is rarely ever talked about in our culture. Today, we'll be focusing on the idea of optimal weight. And to start off, I want you to ask yourself the following question. What if you are healthy and vibrant just as you are, and you really don't need to lose those extra 5, 10, 20, 30 pounds? What if at this very moment you are exactly where you're meant to be? You know, you don't need to work out more, you don't need to eat less or burn more calories. You're at your optimal weight and your body is in a beautiful, balanced place. So for many of us, let's be honest, I mean, most people that were answering that question, the answer to that would have been a resounding no. Most of us live in a world where we're constantly striving to lose that extra 5, 10, 15 pounds, and we've been this way for as long as we can remember, years. We live in such a weight-conscious culture that most of us wouldn't even recognize our optimal weight if and when we achieved it. On today's show, Healthy at Any Weight, we're going to highlight the signs to look for when you're at your optimal weight. Many of you will probably be shocked and surprised to learn that you are closer to where you want or need to be than you realized. And in addition, there's a lot of misinformation out there about what a healthy weight truly is, and many people are turning to dieting to force their body into a size and a shape that just isn't meant to fit in, which is more harmful than many people realize. And I invited a passionate nutrition client, Ruth, on the show today because I know that her approach to her weight will inspire many of you and open you up to a whole new way of thinking about your weight, your life, and your health. So welcome, Ruth.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. So before we dive in, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I'm 37 years old. I've been married for almost 14 years. I'm a mother of 2 boys, ages 8 and 10. And I work full-time as a scientist. And I live a pretty full life. So.
And why did you start coming to Passionate Nutrition? I mean, what prompted you to see a nutritionist in the first place?
I had my annual physical exam, and my doctor, who I've seen for many years, was concerned that my weight had gained maybe 5 or 10 pounds. And we had talked about my weight over the course of years and felt that it might be useful for me to see a nutritionist to sort of, over the course of several months, have someone to check in with about how I'm feeling about my eating and weight, and just have someone who has more experience with that in general. So,
and how did you feel before you started going to a nutritionist?
Physically, really good. Psychologically, with respect to weight and food, there was a real conflict there because on the one hand, I enjoy food so much and I love the way that it brings people together. So there was a lot of joy there. And then on the other hand, there was a lot of conflict with respect to feeling as though, I wasn't fitting into what would be described as healthy. And so there was some real sadness for me around that.
Mm-hmm. And what has your relationship with your weight been like in the past? I mean, it sounds like you started to allude to that.
Yeah, I would say that from my early adult life, when I started weighing more than what, you know, doctors and society would say is really optimal or healthy, from the very beginning, that was very depressing and disturbing for me. But as I've gotten older and through the years, I internally started asking questions about whether or not that was really true. And so my relationship over the last few years, I think, it's been sort of a slow process for me to come to this realization that perhaps what society is telling me is where I ought to be is not really what's optimal for me. So, that's kind of the background there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And how would you describe your relationship with your body now compared to how it's been in the past?
My relationship to my body now, I feel really great about my body. It does all the things I want it to do. I am so happy that I have this great, healthy body that I can move through life with and use any way I like and want. And so that part is so satisfying. But it comes along with sort of this deep-rooted psychological conflict that began in my early adult life, that there's something potentially wrong, right? And so now this process of sort of coming out of that idea doesn't happen overnight. So mm-hmm. I have to continually remind myself to pay attention to what feels right for me.
I love when you said that you love your body, that it's what helps you move through life and help you do what you want to do. I mean, that was just a really powerful thing to say, I think, and also just to hear a woman that says, I love my body.
You know, it was that thought that really turned me around in the last couple of months. When I was sitting down with a friend, and I just blurted out, you know, what if everything is fine? What if I'm really okay? What if there's actually nothing wrong with my body? And I just thought to myself, no, wait a minute. Wait a second here. Like, what is it that I even want from my body? What am I asking from my body in my life? It's doing everything I want it to do. I feel good. I move around. I feel awesome. I work out. I do everything I want to do. Where's the problem? What if there isn't a problem? And that was a real moment for me.
Well, Ruth, you know, the funny thing is that was a real moment for me too.
Yeah.
When you came into my office and you sat down and you said that, I mean, I think actually I did hug you.
Yes, we hugged, yep.
You know, crossing all boundaries of what appropriate etiquette is supposed to be. But I was so excited because it's true. I mean, our bodies, I mean, I know we work with women day in, day out with weight loss. And I mean, we see that there's people that can make a big difference in their life. And at the same time, what you experienced is what I want for every single woman out there.
Yeah. It was a powerful moment for me. And I remember saying to you, okay, like this is so great. Now, how am I going to begin to actually believe what I just said? Because I feel like it's true, but now there's all this work that needs to be done to make sure that I'm actually reconnecting this piece between my brain and my body, where I'm actually listening to what my body is telling me it wants and needs, instead of trying to fit these rules of what, you know, society or some diet might say is good or bad. And really just tuning into my own body. And it's been really great so far.
And what types of steps do you feel like you've taken that have helped you get more to that place where you're able to, you know, take it from this theory or just this realization that you had, but start to have it as part of your day in, day out, how you're operating and listening to your body?
I think one of the key things for me was beginning to define what the dysfunction is when you start to follow dieting rules. What's happening in my mind when I'm telling myself I can't eat this or I can't eat that or I can't eat it now? is that you are sort of telling yourself not to listen to your own body. So I had to actually it's like a muscle. If you don't use it, it goes away. And my own inner voice of listening to my body saying, am I really hungry right now? Like, it sounds sort of ridiculous, but I didn't even know how to find out if I was hungry. Because I spent so many years following rules about what I should eat and when I should eat it, that it took a conscious effort for me to rebuild that relationship or begin to rebuild that relationship. And it's been so amazing. And I'm just so pleased that I'm working through this process.
Yes. Now, we need to take a quick break, but stay with us. And when we return, we'll hear more from Ruth and how she's really shifted how she thinks about her body and her weight. So stay with us. Respect yourself.
Let the power of nature boost your metabolism, nourish your skin, and help save you a fortune on cosmetics. This summer, travel to Lopez Island with renowned nutritionist Jennifer Adler and learn how to access the power of local plants. Join Jennifer's summer workshop, Seaweed 101 and Wild Foods 101. I'm Martha Havley, and I love seaweed. It's delicious, nutritious, and extremely popular. At Jennifer's workshops, you'll harvest seaweed from a kayak, forage restorative wild foods, and learn how to transform local plants into herbal remedies, luxurious beauty products, and delicious meals. Rich in minerals, vitamins, and fiber, seaweed and many other wild foods detoxify and restore our body to its optimal health, which translates to natural weight loss, increased energy, and glowing skin. Space is limited, so learn more and sign up today for these incredible workshops at PassionateNutrition.com. For a great nutritionist, choose Passionate Nutrition like I did. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Tell your friends the place to be is Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Ruth, a Passionate Nutrition client. Now, Ruth, before the break, you had mentioned that it's really difficult to even tune in to that feeling of knowing when you're hungry and when you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that just culturally, it really gets bred out of us. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but it's something that children know so clearly. Do you see that in your boys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's really fascinating to see them eat. I mean, like my younger one, he almost cannot eat breakfast, and my older one inhales breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And, I offer them healthy food, and I let them eat what they want. I mean, I have this mother thing where I want them to eat, of course. But they're naturally active, super thin, and they love all kinds of food. So I'm quite grateful and lucky with respect to that. But yeah, I mean, they eat when they want and what they want.
Right. And it is true. I mean, we have to relearn how to listen to our bodies and listen to our hunger and listen to our satisfaction level, because it's something that, you know, through time, especially if we're following rules, we start to disregard what our body is actually telling us. Like, I think it was just yesterday, or I had a couple clients in a row where, you know, actually for them, they had some digestive issues. And, oh, I'm thinking of one in particular. And after we had done our intake and we were talking about next steps, I said, I know this sounds crazy, but eating raw foods for you is going to be painful and not going to help you with that healing process. And she said, but raw foods are supposed to be so healthy and this and that. And I said, well, but not for your body. And she said, you know, every time before I go to eat a salad, I cringe.
Aww.
And, you know, I dread it. And I say to myself, okay, I know I'm going to have a stomach ache, but I need to eat this salad. You know, so we've learned to bypass our body and put more stock in our brain and rules and what we hear instead of listening to ourselves. And I love that you are developing that self-awareness as to what your body needs.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. I've had similar experiences where I've been on diets where you're only supposed to eat certain food groups that I would normally really enjoy, but that I forced myself to eat in situations where I became repulsed by them. And I just have to think to myself, how is that helpful in any way? Like, when food becomes repulsive and you're forcing yourself to eat something that you would normally enjoy if you just let yourself do it when you want to, that's a problem, right? Like, food is supposed to be this joyful experience where you can create and experience something that is tasty and healthy and that you enjoy sharing. And when it becomes sort of this other thing, it's like diseased almost. And I think it causes real problems, and it did for me.
Mm-hmm. And what has your idealized weight been in the past?
So do you mean what a doctor's chart would tell me or what I feel would be appropriate?
You know, you could say both. I mean, it's good to have a comparison to what it is today, like how it's shifted.
You know, it's funny because I would say, like, by a doctor's chart, I would need to weigh about 150 pounds, maybe even less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But from the time I was 17, 18, 19, I probably weighed 165 pounds, and I was so fit. I was taking martial arts every day. But I would go to the doctor, and they would point out every time that I was, you know, a little over. And really, as I've gotten older and become a fully mature woman, I would say that closer to even like 190 pounds is where I would fit really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just not anywhere near what a chart would tell me. And it's that. There's a burden for the person to reconcile what society and doctors tell you is okay. And if you don't fit into that, how do you reconcile that inner voice that tells you that you're not beautiful if you don't fit that, and yet that doesn't feel right, right? So that's where for me at least, there was real conflict between knowing that I felt really good in my body, but society and doctors were telling me that it wasn't good.
And I just think about, I mean, we see it at Passionate Nutrition with clients each day, but how many people, you know, will avoid going to the doctor or say that they do go to the doctor and they just leave feeling so badly about themselves because they don't fit this particular model or this chart or this graph of saying what they should fit into. Like, imagine, okay, so what did you say that a chart would specify your weight as?
Probably about 150 pounds.
Okay, so imagine if you could just think back, if there's even ever been a time, or imagine if you were at 150 pounds, what do you think you would feel like, or what would your energy level be, or your happiness? Do you have any sense of that?
You know, that's a good question. That is such a good question, because for years and years, I thought that's where I ought to be, but I never actually thought about how it would feel like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that while I might be able to occupy a body at that weight and probably feel just fine, it's not my natural place. I probably wouldn't have as much energy, and Lord knows I need it because I have two young boys. And yeah, that's just not the way I need to exist in this world.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the thing about it is, I know we've talked before on the show, but everybody has such a different body. You know, some people falling in the range that's listed on a chart would be perfect for them. You know, mm-hmm. that could be an ideal range for them to shoot for and really take the steps to be at that weight. However, there's so many people that are not going to fit in those charts, you know, whether they're athletic, you know, they have a strong muscle mass, or even just we all have different genetic predispositions. You know, if we think about ethnic groups or, you know, just the genetic makeup that we have, who do we look like in our family body-wise? You know, that's probably pretty close to what our body is going to be like in its natural state.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't fit into those charts, and I'm quite active. I mean, I do yoga several times a week, and I've done Aikido for years. And the nice sort of thing that reassures me that my body is just exactly perfect the way it is that I can do those things. I can do them, and I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what a shame for individuals who are told, you know, by so many different messages, not just through physicians, but just culturally, that their body is not okay because it doesn't fit into this narrow scope. And then there's this negative feedback loop of maybe you don't engage in physical activity. Maybe you don't take full advantage of this wonderful life that you have because you feel badly. And that is such a sadness, I think, for women and for everybody to sort of limit what we see as being beautiful and healthy.
It's so true. And women will limit, like what you're saying, activities that they really enjoy but that they're embarrassed to go to because of how they feel their body looks. Or buying particular clothing. Or it really can limit people a lot in every aspect of their life, what they choose to do and not do.
Yeah, and like we were saying over the break, actually, that, you know, it goes beyond body image, taking responsibility of living a happy life. You know, it's really my job to make sure that I find a way to feel good about myself and to be happy with my life. And so many of us have so many things to be grateful for, not just our bodies, but relationships and, you know, just our situations in life in general. And I know what it's like to have the thinking of, if I only lost 15 pounds, everything else would be better. That's just not true.
Right. It's good that you've realized that. You know, it's good that you've decided to create happiness for yourself in ways other than body image, in ways other than the cultural expectation of what you should look like.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an interesting thing, too, because we're human beings and there's the biological drive to, I mean, there's a real truth behind needing to feel attractive and wanting to feel healthy and feel beautiful. And there's got to be a way to accomplish that. And I truly believe there's a way to accomplish that without being so narrow in our vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so blessed that the world is populated with variety of people. You know, it'd be a real shame if that wasn't the case. And I think it's not just a burden for the people who don't fit into that narrow scope. It's a burden for everybody to have to feel as though there's a need to judge when really there's not.
Right. I mean, imagine if the world was all the same. I know I got a book for one of the kids that was like that, you know, where you would turn the pages and everybody was dressed the same and everybody looked the same. And then they were driving the same cars and they had the same houses. And the point of this book was to really celebrate diversity and celebrate, I mean, like what we're talking about, the beauty in so many different body sizes.
Yeah, I think that is fundamental to really changing the cultural perception of beauty and the narrow scope of our perception of beauty, especially around women's bodies. That women, I mean, the female body, all bodies are beautiful. Women's bodies are so beautiful, and they come in so many different shapes and sizes, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, imagine if we had a famine or some disaster that happened, and if we all have the same genetic makeup and way of being. I mean, that's a pretty fast way to wipe out the population.
Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, evolutionary and biological advantages to being a diverse group. Mm-hmm. But the psychology behind it, too, like, there's a real pleasure in meeting people who are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being able to embrace sort of the gifts that we all have and the differences in those gifts is a part of coming to this, I think, really the psychological healing behind coming to a place where you really, truly feel and believe that your body is doing just exactly what it ought to do, and that it's our own responsibility to stand up for that, right? To stand up for the fact that actually I feel really great, and why should I let, you know, anyone else tell me that the way I feel is wrong or the way I look is wrong when my body's doing just exactly what I want it to do?
I'm speechless. I mean, this is really, absolutely. And I want you to speak to thousands of people, millions of people, to share this with as many women as possible. And I love that you're taking this ownership of creating this for yourself. I'm sure there's been a lot of struggles as well, though, in terms
Absolutely.
Of embracing this. I mean, what have you experienced?
I would say the number one thing that has helped me come to the place I'm at now, or one of the biggest things, is my marriage. My husband is an amazing soul, and he has been such a patient partner with me, really enabling me to move through this process of coming to a place of loving myself just exactly as I am, because he always has. And having support like that is critical.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely could not have done it without him. On the other hand, nobody else is going to do it for you. I'm the one who finally took those steps and said, you know what? What I really want from life is to be a totally happy, satisfied human being. And why can't I have that? In my opinion, that's what we're all here for. And we're so fortunate to have these awesome bodies. And I really felt that I needed to reconnect from my head to the sensation, to the messages that my body was giving me that I had been ignoring for so many years.
And for so many women in our culture, what happens is we say, I'm going to have that happiness. I'm going to have that satisfaction, all of those feelings after I lose those 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what I love about what you're sharing is you're creating that for yourself right now at the weight you are.
I think it's the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you can do it backwards. I think you have to find the path to total unconditional self-love now. Mm-hmm. Do it now. Why not? Do it right this minute. Decide you're absolutely perfect, just exactly how you are, and feel the way that changes you. It's phenomenal that you can actually, in a moment, in your own mind, decide that there's really nothing wrong with you. It's awesome.
I'm smiling. Now it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay tuned. When we return, we're just going to share more when speaking with Ruth. Stay tuned.
Do
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you really just want to eat better, have more energy, and improve your health. Well, now you can do it all. And your office visits may likely be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition will help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle. One that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC Nightline. Jennifer has designed this breakthrough concept in nutrition and health. No gimmicks, no expensive supplements, or cardboard-tasting food. Nutrition counseling that creates a custom-tailored success plan using fresh foods in easy-to-prepare, tasty meals. Don't try to go it alone. Passionate Nutrition's follow-up sessions will help you achieve long-term success. 6 convenient Puget Sound locations and coverage by most insurance plans. Passionate Nutrition offers affordable and realistic health and weight loss. Go to PassionateNutrition.com. PassionateNutrition.com. Passionate about you.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Ruth, a Passionate Nutrition client who has completely transformed how she thinks about her weight and health. And some of the things related to what we're talking about today is that there's a huge amount of energy that gets put into dieting in our culture. You know, diet and the diet-related industry is a $50 a year enterprise. But the problem with this is that...
More than $50, right?
Did I say $50?
Yeah, you said it was a $50
50
enterprise.
Billion.
Sorry to interrupt, but $50 doesn't seem like much.
That's true. I'm so glad you pointed that out, Eric.
$50 billion, wow.
$50 billion a year enterprise. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is if we look at these statistics, 80 to 95% of the people who engage in dieting don't lose weight permanently. So... diets fail as an intervention. You know, it doesn't achieve the stated directive, and it also doesn't help people permanently pick up healthier eating or moving behaviors or certainly feel better about themselves. I mean, Ruth, did you have any experience with dieting in the past?
Yeah, and I would say that if anything, it made things worse for me. Mm-hmm. Not only was I, you know, engaging in eating habits that weren't truth for my body, but I would get so, there was a sort of psychological middle finger that mm-hmm. would happen when things didn't work for me, and then it would backfire. And also, I think it was that sort of slow and steady loss of being connected to my own body's messages. And so if anything else, it has made it more difficult for me to be at what is probably my body's real optimal weight. I don't think I'm really there. I think, you know, maybe I am, but I just anticipate that as time goes on and I spend more time paying attention to my own body and my body's cues, that was lost when I was dieting, that, you know, it's possible that my weight will fluctuate again, to a more healthy space that is natural for me. And so I think dieting made it more difficult for my body to really sort of be where it needed to be.
Yes, and now the work that you're doing at Passion Nutrition with McKinsey, is that helping you to get more in tune with your body and listen to those signals?
It's huge. She's phenomenal. She's been great. And we talk, you know, we've talked a little bit about like sort of stomach hunger and heart hunger and how to really pay attention to those and to understand what they are. And I told her in my first talk with her, my first visit with her, I said, you know, look, I'm not even sure I know how to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure that I know what it feels like for me to be hungry. I couldn't remember the last time my stomach had growled because I had not allowed myself to feel that. And, you know, she assured me that that was not that uncommon for someone who was struggling with the same sort of long-term conflicts that I had dealt with. And so it's been really great to have a mentor and a guide through this process of re-engaging into feeling connected to my body. And it's so easy. It's so much easier than I thought it would be because there's no conflict there. There's no conflict. There's no pressure. It's just paying attention to myself. And initially, I felt the difficulty of actually sort of stopping and asking, what am I actually feeling right now? Why do I want to eat this thing? But now it's becoming it's more of an easy process than it was even just a couple weeks ago.
And I think you're not alone with how dieting can set us up to make it much more difficult. It's 35% of normal dieters progress to pathological dieting. And of those, 20 to 25 progress to partial or full syndrome eating disorders. And in fact, the most common behavior that leads to an eating disorder is dieting. And the National Institute of Mental Health has found that 1 in 5 women struggle with an eating disorder or disordered eating. And that's 1 in 5. And our goal with today's show is to give our listeners real data and inspiration that will shift how we think about optimal weight and overall health. Because we see this all the time where this dieting does lead to making it difficult on a long-term basis. So Ruth, what would you say are, if you were going to give 5 signs that you're at your optimal weight, or just give the listeners some signs, you know, what do you think, what specific things do you need in your life to feel like you're really healthy?
I remember talking about this with you in the office, and I remember saying to you, like, you know, I have regular bowel movements, you know, mm-hmm. I sleep great. I have awesome sex with my husband. I can move around and do all the physical activities that I want to do. I have meaningful relationships. What more could I possibly want my body to do for me?
Mm-hmm.
What am I actually battling? Like I can walk around, I breathe fresh air, I run with my kids. You know, being able to be genuinely satisfied with intimacy with my husband, that's huge for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that my body is moving things through in a peaceful way is, I thought, you know, okay, so what am I actually dissatisfied with? What am I dissatisfied with? My pant size? Well, how is that going to make my body function any better than it is now? It's already great.
Right, and pant sizes, they change all the time. You know, the manufacturers will change the size, and I know that always throws people for such a loop, but they do that.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. That doesn't change our day-to-day activities that make us feel alive and happy.
Yeah, in fact, I think, you know, if anything, it's struggling with dieting. I was never a very good dieter. I would really be, like, dieting for maybe a week or two. And then I spent the rest of the time sort of disappointed with myself for not staying on the diet. But that caused so much more discord for me than anything else.
Do you mean the dieting and then not being able to follow it more than a couple weeks?
Yeah, and just feeling disappointed that, you know, sort of my, it was my own self-worth, sort of feeling disappointed that I wasn't able to be successful on a diet,
mm-hmm.
Was so harmful. That caused more probably headaches and upset stomachs and any physical symptoms that I had than if I had not been struggling with that at all. You know, as soon as you let go of this idea that you need to force yourself to do something, diet in a certain way, that might actually give you more physical symptoms, it did for me, than just eating, than just listening to your own body's cues.
Right. And Ruth, you know, one of the things that, like at Passion Nutrition, we would say is that, okay, so there probably was a reason why you weren't able to follow that diet for more than a couple of weeks. Like, I know just this last week, the trainer from The Biggest Loser was on the Today Show saying that women should eat 800 calories a day to jumpstart their weight loss.
Oh, God.
I mean, I heard that, and I just, I mean, I was furious, you know, that this was out there and mainstream. I mean, 800 calories a day, our heart isn't going to get what it needs. Our liver, I mean, all of our organs. You know, most of the diets that are out there are just not set up for long-term success or health. I mean, it would be very difficult to follow that. And it's just a setup, like what you're saying, to have a lot of women feel really badly about themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a setup for failure. And, you know, I'm just naturally the kind of person that I mean, I think everybody is naturally the kind of person who wants to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're constantly beating yourself up because you weren't able to stick to an 800-calorie-a-day diet, I mean, that's just a ridiculous reason to feel dissatisfied with life. And it really it served no other purpose for me. I think that dieting was, you know, for me, caused a lot of problems.
I think at some point in the future, we're going to look back at our how we approach weight loss and dieting in this culture as we did, you know, bloodletting historically. So now it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay tuned. When we return, we're going to talk more with Ruth and how she feels about being at her optimal weight.
Yeah, I know when I compliment her, she won't believe me. And it's so sad to think that she don't see what I see. But every time she asks me, do I look okay? I say, when I see you.
With the busyness of life, it can be difficult to make sure we're getting the proper nutrition we need every day to be healthy. That can be true for your kids, too. With mealtime tantrums, conflicting schedules, force feedings, and short-order cooking, eating right can seem daunting. Passionate Nutrition offers private consulting and individually tailored nutrition coaching to help you teach your children how to cultivate a healthy relationship with food that will set them up for lifelong healthy eating. Learn simple tips to nourish your child with balanced, creative, and sustainable meal ideas. Their nutritionists clarify misinformation about food to reduce the anxiety surrounding meals so families can connect at mealtimes. We all want the best nutrition possible, and Passionate Nutrition can help you achieve it in a customized way that fits your busy life. I'm Martha Hadley. Passionate Nutrition is helping me, and they can help you too. Learn more at PassionateNutrition.com. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk, 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk. 1150.
I'll bet you didn't know that on any given day there are over 10,000 kids in our state in foster care through no fault of their own. Hi, I'm Gary Shipe, and every week on Spotlight, we bring you compelling conversation with local leaders. For 25 years, Treehouse has been Washington's leading nonprofit organization addressing the essential education and enrichment needs of kids in foster care. We talk with the CEO of Treehouse this week about their passion to give foster kids a childhood and a future. Join me to learn more on Spotlight, Sunday mornings at 5 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, KKNW.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Ruth, a Passionate Nutrition client, who has really worked on transforming how she thinks about her weight and her health. And one of the things that's really interesting is that when we're thinking about weight, there's this culturally a general perception that weight can be controlled if you have enough willpower, that it's just about calories in, calories out, and that perception leads people that fall within our healthy weight range as a culture, that people that are classified as overweight aren't healthy, and that oftentimes they get stereotyped that they're weak and they're lazy. And even though there's so much research that suggests that there's a genetic propensity for our weight, where our body wants to be, and even though there's people that are classified as obese and they're technically healthier than their thinner counterparts, their perception remains that it's somehow a failure for them to control themselves. And here's the truth. I mean, well, it is inaccurate to view people considered overweight as unhealthy. And I know that, I'll say that again, it's inaccurate to view people that are considered overweight as unhealthy. I mean, we can't tie in somebody's weight necessarily with their health. You know, it's a fallacy to conflate the unhealthy action of overeating and not exercising with the unhealthy appearance, I mean, that we tend to think of culturally. I mean, I know a lot of people that would be classified as overweight that run marathons, they eat organic food, some of them are vegetarian, and they have clean bills of health, you know, where their lab results and all the other indicators of their life, like what Ruth is sharing, are healthy and much more vibrant than many people, many clients that we see that would be classified in a healthy weight range. We have clients all the time that come in and they think they're healthy because of their weight, when really we'd say, you know, we might hook them up to the BIA machine or do other indicators of health and say, wow, you know, we really need to work on getting your cellular health up, helping you to feel better. Let's look at what you're eating. So, Ruth, when we're thinking about this this topic that we've been discussing today about optimal weight, is there anything else you want to say to folks who are struggling with body acceptance? I mean, you just have so much wisdom to share.
You know, for me, I just think I got to a point where I thought it's so important to take advantage of living a fully joyful life. And there's just not enough time. I don't want to waste any more of my time feeling distraught and disappointed and depressed over not fitting into the narrow scope of what a doctor's chart would say is healthy for me. And so being able to shed that, I think for women and really anybody, being able to really tune in to how you feel as a guide for whether or not you are a truly healthy person is a powerful thing. It goes beyond body image. It goes, you know, being able to take the responsibility and control of finding your own personal happiness in life. It's so empowering. It's so important, not just for yourself, but for the people around you, for the people who love you, and to be a good example of a person who feels not just comfortable in their skin, but joyful, really fully satisfied and in love with who they are, and to just share that with everyone around you. We've all had the experience of, you know, being around someone we've all met people who are clearly overweight, heavier than what we would think of as being optimal, and just being full of life. And, you know, that to me is the goal.
Yes, and some of the most amazing women that I've met would be classified as overweight by our cultural standards, but they are living a joyful life, like you're saying.
And
yeah. Imagine, I mean, I love how you said, too, about being a model for this. Imagine if, as women, that we were like this as examples. Think of how our children would grow up. What would, you know, how our girls would grow up and how they would think about their bodies. That's something that I know Sue Bates and I talk about a lot, empowering, you know, women, which therefore then empowers our girls.
It's so important to me as a mother of two little boys that they grow up to love women and themselves,
mm-hmm.
But to really, you know, they have a mother who is heavier than what society would say is optimal. But they see me enjoy life. They see me. I mean, I've completed triathlons at this weight. I go to yoga all the time. They see me in a happy marriage, and it's, I want to offer to the world my ability to raise young boys to love people for who they are and not, mm-hmm. not what their body looks like. And women especially need that. We need to be surrounded by other women and men who can see us and accept us for the beauty that we have, the unique beauty that we have, and really embrace that. And I want my boys to not just to be able to offer that to the world, but think of what it will mean for them. You know, it's not just about the burden of the people who suffer with trying to fit into this narrow scope. It's also the burden of the people who might feel compelled to judge. There's no satisfaction there for anybody.
Right. And, you know, what you're saying, it just reminded me of a couple of my favorite quotes. One of them is by Jeanine Roth that said, there's nothing that can keep a woman down like an eating disorder. And another one is from Deepak Chopra, and I'll paraphrase it, but it says that the way to change HIV and AIDS rates in Africa is not to pass out condoms. It's to empower the women. Because when women are empowered, children are fed, children are educated, the world changes. And I believe what we're talking about today, Ruth, is something that is incredibly empowering and can change our world. When women are not having this preoccupation and continual focus on their body, imagine what we can do in the world.
I completely agree with you. I think that not only are, you know, women and men, we all play our roles in this, on this planet. And one of the things that we're responsible for is being an advocate for children. And I think that healthy women who have a good self-image are just in such a better position to make sure that we're all advocating for the well-being of everyone around us. If you can't do that for yourself, then how do you do that for the people that you love?
Right. That self-love, that self-acceptance. And like what you're saying, just really, that you love your body. Now, is there anything that you would recommend for people to do, our listeners to do on a daily basis to cultivate more body appreciation or love? Is there anything that helps you? I know you have your appointments, but anything else you do that helps you stay connected to this?
Slowing down.
Mm.
I think slowing down has been a big thing for me. And that can take the form, that can come in a lot of different ways. Some people meditate, other people, you know, finding a moment to breathe slowly and think about how is my body feeling right now.
That's powerful. And do you find yourself also slowing down with eating?
Yeah, and you know what's great about that is I love food. I love to eat food. I love to cook food. And when you slow down, it just lengthens that whole time where you get to enjoy what you're eating. It's really nice.
It is. And you know, that's something I'm continually surprised about. One of the questions that we ask people is, how would you describe your relationship with food? And so often people will say, oh, I just love food. I love food so much. But then when we start talking, you know, they're really rushing through that process. They're eating in the car. They're eating while in front of the computer. You know, having something quick that they can throw in a microwave. And, you know, I think like what you're expressing is really showing love for our bodies and food, to take that time and slow down and really savor that experience.
Yeah, it's such a universal satisfaction to enjoy the food you eat.
Mm-hmm. And that's the good thing about what we're talking about, is that, you know, it's, we can be healthy, we can get to our optimal weight and enjoy food at the same time. Oftentimes people think that those are, you know, that we can't enjoy food and do that, that we have to deprive ourselves. And that's exactly the opposite of what we're saying here today, which I love.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's the only way to do it. I don't think there's any other way to, I mean, I think you have to find the love for your body and the love for the food you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
The equation just doesn't work if you try it any other way.
It's true. I know I was talking with a client yesterday and I said, okay, if you don't like it, don't eat it.
Right.
You know, we eat so many things because we think we should, like what you were talking about earlier with dieting. And that's not what food is meant to be. It's meant to be pleasurable.
Yes.
And I know I've said I would rather see someone eating McDonald's with joy and love and happiness than a kale salad that they're hating every minute of.
Because there's, I mean, all of that feedback of enjoying what you're eating, I mean, the psychology behind it is so important.
Right. Well, Ruth, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your really inspiring story.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio, same time, same place. And to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at passionatenutrition.com or give us a call at 206-595-0376. Thank you and have a great week.
If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up.